welcome to your Friday post game. I am your host, Malcolm Fleshner, and with me, as always, of course, is Dave Kohler. But that's not interesting. What's interesting is this one over here.
Yeah, how'd I
Grace
wander
Baldridge.
In here?
Oh my God! You mean
what?
The campy the campy lesbian.
The campy lesbian.
Reclaiming camp.
Great show on the TYT network. Everything you need to know about camping and pit bulls.
So, host of Murder with Friends.
Yeah, host of Murder
with
Friends.
Streamy Award nominated.
Well, now I knock on wood. We'll see. We're underdogs, but why not go for it, you know? I think a lot of people, when it comes to award things, are like, it doesn't matter to me. It's not important. I don't care. You care. You want to get recognized. You work hard on something. You want a little recognition. So we're going to try. And then Pop Trigger is the
Pop Trigger, of course.
That's what I do too.
And so and you sometimes you fill in on the main show second
hour
usually.
Yeah, that's always a great adrenaline rush for me because I never feel like fully like my legs are underneath me because it's like breaking as it happens. Like I remember one time one of the first times I ever hosted the main show, Amy Schumer had tweeted at TYT 20 minutes prior to we were going on the air because we were covering a story. And Amir was just like, hey, don't worry, you're gonna do great, but also Amy Schumer's gonna be watching. And I'm like, what? And I was flustered, but it was fine.
Really? Because Amy Schumer's watching?
Yeah, I'm a big comedy fan. I know people have polarizing views about Amy Schumer, but I love comedy. If you can make a living at doing it, more power to you, you know?
All right. Well, and I don't think anybody noticed. If it's any consolation, I don't think anybody noticed.
I don't think Amy Schumer noticed. I don't actually think she was watching.
But when you're doing a show for the first time, nobody's gonna be like, something's off. Grace is off today. She's not because no, they don't know. There's no precedent.
Yeah, that's definitely something that you notice is that you feel you have this heightened awareness when you're doing something on camera for the first time, or you're doing something, you know, just performing something or presenting something. You have this heightened awareness of everything you do. So you'll get off stage or whatever, and you'll be like, oh, I got this wrong. This beat wasn't good. And then you'll ask someone who saw it. And most of the time, unless you show that you're nervous, they're like, no, you seemed fine. Right. I didn't even notice it. So I think it's just about a going with the flow. And that comes with time, too. But you can always sense when someone's nervous, I think.
They were shooting it from the waist up, so they didn't see the puddle of
huge
urine.
Puddle. And I've mostly stopped doing that. But I can't, no promises after this show, because this is my first post game.
Yeah. So Grace doesn't know what to expect, and nor do we. But what I do know is that we're coming to you in front of a Broad Peak, which is the eighth highest mountain in the world. And we use this as our backdrop today because it's the 60th anniversary of Broad Peak first being climbed. It's on the border of Pakistan and China. It's in the Karakoram Mountain Range. It's about 8 kilometers from K2. The summit is 1.5 kilometers long, so that's why it's called Broad Peak. But the first ascent was made between June 8th and 9th, 1957, by Fritz Wintersteller, Kurt Diemberger, Hermann Gull, and this man, Marcus Schmuck. I think we have an image of him, don't we, Irma? And I wanted to honor him, and that's not him. I don't think.
Wow, he looks a lot like South America.
Yeah, that's
I think that's a map of Costa Rica.
Well, if we get a shot of Herman, if we can find him, it was the first graphic. It was in the last one of the ones that I sent you, Irma. There he is. There's Marcus, not Herman. Marcus Schmuck, who I'm sure you know. It was I can imagine like climbing mountains was something that he. Look forward to doing because you get away from the people like me who would feel the need to make fun of his name.
Yeah.
But Marcus Schmuck, I think exceeding the expectations for someone with that kind of name. So congratulations. Those of you who don't know, Schmuck, my understanding is Schmuck means penis in Yiddish. I don't know what it is in German specifically.
I believe so. Speaking of Schmuck, Cenk uses that all the time now. It doesn't seem right to me. Not that I object, but it just doesn't seem the right word. He calls Donald Trump a schmuck. What is he trying to get at with that?
I don't know. Does he
like
understand?
You call him an idiot.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but
wait, is a schmuck? I guess I don't really understand how the different uses of a schmuck, because I feel like we just went through a whole variety of how it can be used. Maybe it's one of those terms that people sort of appropriate to whatever person and whatever connotation they want it to mean.
Yeah,
it's one of those
probably.
Sort of, it's broad enough, it's sort of an amorphous word where you can mix it and match it with what you want. Like, I'm trying to, what's another example of that?
I don't know. Like, if you call somebody an ass, I've heard people call other people asses when I think what they really mean is asshole. Like,
no,
such an
bitch
ass.
Is a good one because you can be like, she's a bad bitch.
Right.
And
right.
That's a compliment. Or you can be like, she's such a bitch. Or be like, don't be a bitch. Is like, those are three different ways of.
But schmuck, I have always
there's not a whole lot of positive connotations to schmuck, I don't think.
I've always taken it as a word that you use when someone's a jerk in personal relations, one-on-one, private settings, not
a
public figure. I
always thought it was more like a loser, like a schmuck was a loser.
Fine, but
yeah, kind of a, I don't know if this is a bad, like a dunce, is that, what does that mean? I just know that that's
the dunce is literally the kid in the class, the dumbest kid in the class who would have to sit in the corner and wear a dunce cap.
Okay.
But I even if it's whatever, a loser, whatever you say, I always took the context of schmuck to be someone in your life, a personal connection or people around you, not a public figure that
that's
you
That's not know. The that's not my issue. I don't have that issue with it. But my issue with Cenk is that he says I do declare thinking that it's a Britishism when it's actually from the South. He's like, "Oh, I do declare," but that's not, you know, that's not British people don't say that. It's a meh.
I do declare these hush puppies are overcooked.
Exactly.
Something
that's
like
not
that.
A good, that's not a British person.
No, it doesn't sound like it
he
at all.
He should say Bob's your uncle or some ridiculous Britishism instead, but he doesn't. So what are we going to do with this Cenk Uygur? Maybe he's the schmuck, or maybe we are. Anyway, so that's Broad Peak and Marcus Schmuck. Congratulations on your success in summiting the Broad Peak 60 years ago, and congratulations, hats off to you. But we have limited time today, unfortunately, because Dave has a very important call, so we're going to get straight to our first fun game of the evening for you at home on Friday, because we record this on Thursday. Mm. Okay, so we're not going to get deeply into the, you know, the elections in Britain or...
Yeah, but congratulations to the new prime minister.
Yeah.
Well, to the prime minister.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's what the people wanted. Now they got
the people have spoken. I mean, not to us yet, but you,
no
they will
have
spoken.
No one speaks to us, yeah.
So, we're gonna play Weekly World News. I believe we have an opening graphic for that.
Weekly World News.
All right, so the way this game is played is I span the globe looking for news stories from countries that are either stories or countries that are a little covered, even whether here on the main show and TYT or in the broader mainstream media. And then I turn it into a quiz for our panelists to see if they can guess correctly which of the stories that I have identified are real stories and which are made up. As you may have guessed from our earlier graphics snafu, the first question comes to us from Honduras. Where is Honduras? Glad you asked. There it is. It's in Central America. We've also got some borders that I'm not 100% committed to
that
yet.
That is the head of South America, right? Like at the bottom corner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out where.
Yeah, that's Colombia and Venezuela.
So this is a very zoomed in map. Okay, yeah. Now I have my bearings.
And that's Cuba and Hispaniola, the islands, and I believe Puerto Rico. And anyway, so so the question from Honduras is as follows.
We're going to have to speed this whole thing
up. Okay. Financial backers recently withdrew support for a proposed hydroelectric dam on the Gualcarque River. For what reason? Was it A, vocal opposition from the indigenous rights group founded by slain activist Berta Cáceres, or how do I say that, Dave?
Cáceres.
B, climate change driven drop in rainfall levels leading to lower volume of water flow. C, indictment on corruption charges of the regional governor who approved the deal. Or D, Honduran officials refused their request to name it Dam Daniel. And also, we'd like to know, you guys, while you figure out your answer, we'll wonder whether Dave recognizes the reference, the Dam Daniel reference. I'm guessing not, but yes. You do? You know that?
I know Dam Daniel, the Bible.
Very good. Okay. Do we have answers?
Not really. No. Too good.
Okay. Dave is picking A and B for Grace. Let's see. What is the correct answer? Yeah, it's not easy. The correct answer is A. Dave gets
one right.
Oh, no,
congratulations. You knew this one?
No.
So, so here's the story. It's the woman, we have an image of her. Her name is Berta Cáceres, and she was a Honduran activist, and she was killed by, the Honduras had a military coup that was supported by the United States government, and Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State supported it. And since then, there has been a killing rampage that's going on that 124 campaigners opposing mines, dams, logging, and tourist resorts have been murdered since 2010, making Honduras the most deadly country in the world for environmental and land activists. Mm. Now, since her killing, there's been a lot of attention brought on to Honduras and the situation there, and these backers of this particular dam on the Gualcarque River, the Agua Zarca Dam, It's considered sacred by the Lenca people, and she had campaigned against it before she was killed. Her murder triggered international outrage and helped spur these backers, these financial backers, decide, you know what, we're not going to invest in this. But overall, there's been sort of a run on Honduras. The new government in Honduras has said, you know, we're open for business and have been shunting aside the indigenous activists and indigenous groups in general, environmentalists and so on and so forth. So this is one case where that kind of pressure was successful to get them to stop, but it, you know, it cost this woman her life. She had received multiple death threats linked to this campaign specifically, and her name did appear on a military hit list. So there's a lot of suspicion that the military government was behind it, but of course they're not investigating it very well, and so we'll probably never know for sure. But meanwhile, there's still ongoing harassment to the indigenous communities, because this is just one project. And there have been any number of hundreds of environmentally destructive projects sanctioned after the 2009 coup without legally required community consultation. So that's the good news coming out of Honduras, which, I mean, it's a font of good news, Honduras generally. Yeah. But at least there's one positive thing to come out of this woman's death. But if you're an environmentalist or an indigenous rights activist in Honduras, you are very much at risk. And I think we did a story about something relating to this a couple of months ago, or maybe it was in South America instead of Honduras. But your thoughts, Dave? Dave is a resident Latin American expert and analyst, and so you got it right. So you should have some insight into this, right?
I even forgot the story. They're not going to build the dam.
They have pulled their funding. They had the funding set up, $44 million worth. They pulled the funding. Okay, any particular thoughts?
Yeah, it's a little bit of good news coming out of Honduras. That's my analysis.
What I like about the moment that just happened is Dave was just like, can I bullshit this? And he was like, can I? And then he's like, fuck it, I can't. I don't remember the story, but there was a moment where he was like, I'm kind of brilliant. I could pull this off. Like, could I try? And he's like, nah, not today.
Half the time from Dave, it's comments about the story, and the other half, it's comments about the phrasing of the question, or if I've not followed my format, which I didn't know I had a
format. I have those. First, I think Central America will be subject to excess precipitation due to global warming,
yes.
Not a lack of precipitation.
See, that's what I was, in my answer, I was like, I feel like this is not like, I don't think I know enough about climate change, and like it's too. I had a feeling in my gut.
But you know, you could be there, you know, more arid regions. Who knows? But that's why we play the game, because we have to fill the time before Dave has to go in 10 minutes. All right, so let's go move on to the next. The next question comes to us from the country of Niger. Now, where is Niger? There it is, right in the heart of Central West Africa. And not to be confused with Nigeria, which is a completely different country to the south.
So if Niger is pronounced Niger,
it is pronounced.
Why wouldn't Nigeria be pronounced Nigeria?
Because Nigeria was not a French colony, and Niger was, is my guess, but I don't know. My expertise is more in coming up with bullshit answers to the questions that I also come up with. All right, so the question is, A leading opposition leader in Niger was recently given a 3-month suspended sentence for what offense? Was it A, plotting to overthrow the government? B, operating an exotic animal smuggling ring? C, kidnapping the nation's most popular soccer player? Or D, trying to hug Jerry Seinfeld? Does Dave get that right?
I know there's something going on with Jerry Seinfeld, and everyone was talking about it yesterday, but I don't know what it is.
All right, well, you can focus on coming up with an answer instead.
I think I've come up with my strategy for this game. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to choose the weirdest answer I can.
Okay.
And I think
that's a possibility. That's, you know, or maybe the weirdest things, you know, it's tough coming up with a good strategy, because Steve is always trying, but he never does. All right, what are our answers, folks? We have C from both Grace and from Dave. What
he
is the?
Stole my strategy.
He's just going to cheat off of you. What is the correct answer, Irma? The correct answer is A, plotting to overthrow the government. Now, I chose this story.
That's what the opposition leader does. I mean, that sucks.
But this is
plus
why
A was the answer to the
I was
one.
So bad in school. Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. Instead of being like, that makes the most logical sense.
Right.
I'm thinking, but it's a little too obvious.
Yeah.
What's he playing at, this guy? And then also, the last answer was 2. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, there's a lot
but
of mind
I am
games
obviously
going on.
Stupid because I've gotten all my questions
Steve,
wrong.
Steve has gone 0 for 5 a number of times.
Oh, that's I'm fully aware that's about to happen.
So don't sweat it. That's the to do poorly, worse than average, you would have to get 6 answers wrong, and there's only 5 questions. So Niger. So the president of Niger is a gentleman named Mahamadou Issoufou. I believe we have an image of him. He has led Niger since 2011, won re-election in 2016 in a runoff. That's not him. That's the opposition leader who was recently imprisoned.
Suspended sentence.
Well, suspended sentence. But he was in prison while he was awaiting trial. Anyway, so this is the guy who was was jailed briefly and had got a suspended sentence. But I thought it was interesting because he was accused of attempting a coup, basically, and got a 3-month suspended sentence, which seems like pretty much a slap on the wrist.
It's an door invitation to do more coups.
Right, but now, according to the story I read about it, he had called on his allies to remain united against the president and force him from power by all legal means available. And the president, Issoufou, said, we're going to arrest him anyway. And maybe that's, that works so well for him because he won re-election in 2016 in a runoff boycotted by the opposition whose candidate had been jailed shortly before the first round. So that's one way of doing it. I mean, I know here in the United States, you have during the campaign, you have calls to lock your opposition up after the campaign is over. But in Niger, they jump, they're more aggressive about their timeline and they just arrest the, but I guess he was in power, so he had the opportunity to do that, whereas Donald Trump was not in power yet. But so that's Niger for you. And next we go to Russia. Where is Russia? Anybody know where Russia is?
House a little bit.
There you go. See, that's a little easier. And the question is as follows. In a recent interview, Vladimir Putin gave what reason for claiming that he never has a bad day? Was it A, because he has a sunny disposition? That's like you, right?
Yeah.
B, because he's a Russian bear and bears don't have bad days. C, because he is not a woman. Or D, because if he's ever feeling down, he can always just pick himself up again by executing a journalist. That's a little dark. I don't know about that question. The D answer is never the correct answer, by the way, in case you're wondering.
I have a feeling. That's just like how my SAT tutor taught me.
It's like Wesley Snipes, always bet on black and roulette. Is that really a good strategy? All right, what are our answers? Irma, our answers from Grace is A and from Dave is C. What is the correct answer, Irma? The correct answer is C, because he is not a woman. Dave, 2 for 3.
How did I miss this story?
All right. So this is an interview he gave to Oliver Stone.
It's this thing where it looks like a bad version. This isn't my joke, but I heard that this whole thing with Oliver Stone and Vlad, I'll call him Vlad, what? Like I know him. It looks like a weird version of like comedians in cars getting coffee.
Yeah,
because it's all terrible. Sort of shot on like GoPros and stuff.
Can I just say
the reason why I picked A is because I feel like he's the sort of guy that would have the hubris and the ego that would be like, I'm obviously the most pleasant person to be around always.
Yeah.
That's a true thing about me that everyone knows.
He does seem to have a bad self-observer. An impish grin a lot of the time. So I don't know. But the reason, but so what he said is, he had a series of interviews with Oliver Stone, and among other things, he was asked if he ever had bad days, and he said being a man meant he did not have to worry about this. I am not a woman, so I don't have bad days. I'm not trying to insult anyone. That's just the nature of things. There are certain natural cycles, is what he said.
And he's like, because I don't have a period, so I physically cannot have a bad day.
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
can I just really quick again? Sorry, I'm having a blast.
No,
please. I've played some of my best basketball games in high school when I was on my period. So like, even I'm just saying, if he thinks that just because you have like a cycle of things or a season where girls go through bad times, yeah, it's no secret periods aren't fun. I have a feeling that the demographic for this show is like hyper male. So this is the last period talk, I promise.
This is like 19 people who watch this.
Just because you have a period doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad all the time. It's not great, but it's,
Vladimir Putin is notoriously ignorant. I don't think he knows very much about the menstrual cycles.
What?
In
Dave!
I don't mean to.
Preposterous.
I know it's not that you're not supposed to defend Putin these days, but in his defense, if what he's saying is, I'm a man, so I don't have, on a regular basis, I don't have to deal with blood just gushing out of my genitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how can I say I have a bad day? You know, every day is a good day when you don't have
when
to worry about that.
When you don't have blood. Honestly, and if he had said that more, like more absolutely in those terms, I would have agreed with him. I was like, you know what? That's a nice way to look at life. Every day is a good day when you never have to deal with blood gushing out of your genitals.
Although in our, as men, when blood mm-hmm. rushes to our genitals, that's a good thing.
It is? Oh, not like out
not
of
out.
It.
Oh, no.
I was like, yeah. want to lose
is
blood.
It like a hot thing that guys enjoy, peeing
no, it's
blood?
A, it's the difference between how enjoyable it is to have a balloon that's blown up and you can play with, or a balloon that pops. So I think that's
gotcha.
All right. Well, so he also mm-hmm. said, I mean, in this interview, he denied there was any persecution of gay people in Russia. And when asked whether he would feel comfortable showering next to a gay man, he said, no, I prefer not to go into the shower with him. Why provoke him? Now, there may be a translation issue there. Why provoke him? But you know, I'm a judo master, he said, laughing, which I assume.
Why provoke him?
Yeah, exactly.
This guy
yeah.
honestly thinks that he's the sexiest man alive. Yeah. That's why I think, that's why I chose A. He thinks that he is God's gift. Gay guys don't want to touch you, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Have you, if you, you should watch a show. It's called The Abbey, and you'll see how beautiful the dancers are at a lot of gay clubs. Actually, don't watch it. It's a bad show. But go to The Abbey, which is a gay bar, and then you'll see how beautiful they are, and you'll realize that, Vlad, like, you could shower, like, right next to them, and they'll be like, excuse me.
I love the idea of you basically invited Vladimir Putin to go
yeah.
to, you know, club
I
with
think
you.
It would soften his heart if he spent a little time with me and my girls out
sure
at
would.
A gay club.
He might, when he's out of office, he might, he's a private citizen again. I have to go, what are we going
okay,
to
do? Okay, we'll hurry through the last two. Okay, so I think judo master, maybe that's a, there's a Russian translation issue, and that actually is a reference to being gay. question number four is in Malaysia. Where's Malaysia? There it is, and the question is this. The Malaysian government is offering citizens cash prizes for producing the best videos on what topic? Is it A, the relationship between Islam and proper hygiene? B, the personal history of Prime Minister Najib Razak? C, how to prevent young people from becoming homosexual? Or D, a takedown of Tommy Lauren? Yeah, that's what we need, more takedown videos of Tommy Lauren.
Yeah,
the Malaysian government's gonna pay top dollars for those. All right, now we need an answer.
I know.
What is the Malaysian government offering video money for? We have an answer of C and an answer of B. The correct answer is C, how to bring young people from becoming homosexual.
Oh,
and so Davis, like 3 for 4, that's great. Quickly, yes, the Malaysian government is offering cash prizes up to $1,000 for the best gay prevention videos. Or videos explaining how to prevent becoming homosexual. And activists, understandably, are saying this is just going to further spread fear among Malaysians about gay people and put them at greater risk. Contestants are invited to submit a video clip addressing various categories, including gayness or gender confusion, and offering suggestions as to how these could be prevented or controlled. And there's more to this, but I have a breaking news. This story came out like 5 days ago, so it's not that fresh. But just earlier today, news broke, and I believe we have a graphic for this, Irma, that Malaysia has actually dropped the gay prevention category from the video competition because of the uproar and the people who were upset about that. But it's there's creeping Islamism in Malaysia, and this is evidence of increased conservatism in Malaysia, but it's horrible. It's like a horrible, horrible idea, and
yeah, but
like,
you know, a good way, that stuff pretty much already exists on Netflix in the LGBT section, because so many of those movies are just hot garbage because our representation is just not really there yet. And so you could watch one of those movies and be like,
I'm sure you could come up with a whole list. Maybe we'll add it to the description of this, movies just to watch if you don't want to be turned gay. All right, last question before we get rid of Dave. Comes to us from China. Or as our president calls it, China, however he says it. And the question is this. Disgruntled shareholders in a privately owned Changzhou zoo recently protested a lack of return on their investment by doing what? Was it A, hurling elephant dung at the zoo director's home? B, feeding a live donkey to the zoo's tigers? C, releasing a dozen of the releasing a dozen of the zoo's rhesus monkeys and trees outside a government building, or D, inviting Donald Trump's sons to hunt the zoo's beloved panda Zhang Zhang. So there were shareholders in a zoo, they weren't getting the return on investment they wanted, and what did they do in response? We have an answer of B and an answer, we have two answers of B. What's the correct answer? Irma,
I bet it's
it is
A.
It is B. Hey! one. Good for you. And we have an image of this. It's pretty horrific.
We do.
There's video.
There was
Well, I mean, somebody made a video of this and it went viral. We just have the image, I think, Irma, if you could show it to us, of the donkey being released into the tiger's enclosure there.
Oh my God.
So what happened is that they invested in this zoo, a privately owned zoo, and they weren't making their money back. They hadn't seen a single return in 2 years. So in protest, they got this donkey and they shoved it into the tiger's enclosure. The donkey, the tigers immediately set upon it and killed it. It took like 30 minutes though, and the video went viral. They also planned to feed a sheep to the tigers before security at the zoo stopped them, and the video has since gone viral. But conditions in many Chinese zoos are notoriously cruel, I've discovered, and guests often throw food or other objects at the animals. The animals are locked up in simple metal cages or placed in barren pits, and then there's information about the difficulties they're having in debates about who's responsible for making money in the zoo and whether their money was just taken by the zoo managers. But so one guy said, since we can't have any benefits, we thought why not feed them to the tigers? At least we can save on animal feed, one unidentified shareholder told local media. Oh. And apparently zoos in other parts of China regularly feed live animals to tigers for the amusement of the public. And guests visiting one tiger sanctuary in northeast China's Heilongjiang province can pay to have a live cow or chicken hurled into the tiger enclosure. So that, and just, you know, zoos are pretty horrible even in this country, even nice zoos. I'm an anti-zoo. I don't think we should go to zoos. I don't think we should have zoos, except maybe to, you know, for animals who are, you know, abandoned or endangered for some other reason. We're going to lose Dave. Dave's going to go off to his phone call. So it's just going to be Grace. Yeah, congratulations. You did well, though. You got 4 out of 5 today. That's the best ever done.
Yes.
Great job, Dave.
Dave's very impressive.
Proud of you, Dave.
So thanks for joining us. And now we can talk about him.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a lot.
So, I don't know, you must be an animal lover, right? Because I'm stereotyping.
No, I am. I am a huge animal lover. And I used to not really critique at all our responsibility and what zoos sort of mean and what were they for and what was their initial intended purpose, which was educational, and how has that sort of evolved or devolved.
And I think it was to gawk at these animals, and then it was like, no, we can also be educated, so we're going to adapt.
Right,
you know,
but
transition.
I mean, early on it was more of a thing, you know, I went down like a Google rabbit hole, I guess, a couple months ago when my friend was like, you should look at early drawings of elephants when they were just based on one person had actually seen an elephant, then came back and told it to an artist, a sketch artist, and they drew what they thought was an elephant. And so and looking back, people just had no idea what else was in the world. So I do think initially there was some sort of an inclination towards education, but also towards gawking as well, and circuses and freak shows and that whole thing. But now we have the internet. If you want to know what an elephant looks like, you can go check it out. You can find out almost everything there is to know about an elephant online. You don't need
to
see one in person.
You can probably watch.
I mean, a zoo is basically us as humans being like, prove it, you know? That's all it really sort of feels like. And it used to be really fun. And then I went pretty recently with my girlfriend into the San Diego Zoo, and it still is amusing. And there's some exhibits that you feel less weird about than others, but I remember distinctly the hippo exhibit when we went was one that was really sort of turning a corner for me, because hippos are huge, majestic animals, and I guess I had never really thought about them before, because I hadn't seen one. I didn't know also that they were one of the most deadly predators in the wild.
I don't think they're predators. I think they are deadly to humans because
I've just seen like the
people get between a hippo and unwittingly get between a hippo and the water, and the hippo.
I mean, not like a lion predator,
right.
But I mean that
they're deadly. They kill a lot of people.
A hippo fuck you up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think dangerous would have been a better word. So I watched that, and it was these two hippos in a very, very, not small enclosure, because the San Diego Zoo, I think they do try. There are a lot of people that feel that they're doing a lot of good there, and I think that they, you know, a lot of them can't be released out in the wild. So what are you going to do? You want to take the best care of these animals, of course. But once you see these animals, and a hippo especially, they shouldn't be gawked at the way. I mean, it was just, you know, people that weren't really paying attention and you're tapping on the glass, even though you're not supposed to tap on the glass, kids do it anyway.
No.
And it felt like if I was a hippo, which I have been called the hippo of TYT, I would be so stressed and, you know, unhappy, and they were just very lethargic animals. And then you see a video of how fast they can move online, and you realize that our our idea of hippos, I can't believe we're talking about hippos so much. Hippos is these slow, sort of burly animals. That's kind of one side of them, but they're amazing. They're amazingly fast and they're agile and
they're vicious. I mean, you ever watched like when there's you know, the way hippos operate is there's a male with a bunch of females and the male dominates that area of the river or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they fight over it and they will kill each other. And
yeah,
the hippo
and
fight is
teeth
serious bad news. That's the sort of the debate though. You see these animals and you're like, these animals don't, a lion doesn't belong in this cage in this little area. And then other people say, well, the lion doesn't seem to mind, gets fed, doesn't have to, chase down his food. That's a real hassle and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But I'm generally speaking anti-zoo and this, I know we try to put a positive face on it as best we can, and that the enclosures we create for the zoo animals here in the United States tend to be more humane than like in some random bumblefuck zoo in China where you're encouraged to throw shit at the animals. I mean, so we can feel better about ourselves for that. But generally speaking, it's still the same thing. You're still taking this wild animal, putting it in a cage. And sometimes even at, like the I remember going to the National Zoo in Washington D.C. They're, you'll have these big cats, not necessarily a tiger, but a caracal or these other cats that are big cats but not as big as, and they'll be in a relatively small enclosure and they'll just pace back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And they've worn this path down. You're like, this is not good for the animal. I feel bad being here. And then this poor donkey. What did he do?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry you didn't get your you're not making a good return on your investment, but please don't feed me to a tiger.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're not feeding you to a tiger. We're feeding you to two tigers.
there are two of them in there.
So you shouldn't suffer from one. And then people gawking at this. I don't see it really. What is the difference between feeding a live donkey to these two tigers then slaughtering a cow, chopping it up and feeding it to them, really?
Yeah, and I also think that a natural history museum, you can get way up close and personal with the stuffed versions of those animals. And
right.
That's actually more impressionable to me. I went to the New York Museum of Natural History, I think about a year ago. And it's because you can get right up close to the glass and you can really see their body.
You can tap on the glass all you want.
You can
You're not going to bother
the glass.
Them at all.
So I think that there are other ways to stay educated. And I understand that there are so many animals in captivity. I just think that there are more constructive ways to, create a habitat for them that is not a zoo. You can have a conservation area or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I still think there's an element to zoos of, we are the apex
top
predator.
Yeah, we are the
captured
top
you.
Of
we,
the food
we,
chain.
You
know, you're ours
now. Yeah, we captured you and we put you in jail, and now we're going to gawk at you. And mm-hmm. I think there's an which is the same as people climbing mountains. It's such a Western notion of conquering mountains. Like, this is not the kind of thing that indigenous people, they think about. Like, they'll have some sort of spiritual connection to the mountain or whatever. But an example is, I don't know if you know what it's called, Ayers Rock, or almost known as Uluru in Australia. It's in central Australia. It's a giant red rock that has tremendous spiritual meaning for the Aboriginal Australian people. And when you go, it's, there's the Australian government, I mean, I haven't been in 15 years or so, but the Australian government sort of runs it as a park, but they say, out of deference to the Aboriginal people who have a spiritual connection to them, we ask that you not climb on it. And then people just go ahead and climb it anyway. And they're just like, and they don't stop you from doing it. And, but it's a very Western notion, like there's this big mountain, I'm going to conquer it, I'm going to piss all over it, whatever. People want to go up and drink beer on there and throw cans. I mean, it's terrible. But I just don't think that, and I think that the idea of caging animals just so we can look at them and demonstrate our dominion over them is very Western also. There we go. Dave's back. Thanks
Actually,
for coming
I
back, Dave.
I was just
going
to say, if Dave could, kind of, he's really interrupting a lot, so.
He's a little chatty, it's true. And we don't, why don't, what the hell? We got Grace here, we got the time.
Yeah,
We'll move on to Totally True or Totally Bullshit. We'll play a little bit and see if we have anything. I mean, it's always fun to have Dave, hear what Dave has to say about it, but we might as well play. So the way the game is played, and Grace has never done this either. So I mean, you got one out of five. That's better than Steve. You're better than Steve. The way the Totally True, Totally Bullshit is, I will put forward a proposition, a positive proposition, and then the panel, Grace and I, will decide if it's A, totally true, or B, totally bullshit. And our motto is, we don't do nuance. Until then, we decide to do a little nuance. So I think we have an opening graphic for this as well.
Okay.
Dave has been with us for probably 3 or 4 years now, and we still have not had time to add his name to the graphic.
Which
we should have done.
We don't want it to go to his head. Honestly, it's already pretty big.
I should have had them add you today, just for the day, but Steve loves that Dave's not on it.
That Dave's not on it.
Hey guys, I don't need my name on the.
Okay, that's not going to be necessary. Thank you, Dave. But that's you take your call. It's important. You take your call.
Okay, Malcolm.
Besides, if you could do an impression of Dave like Rick Strom could do, I would take it. But you can't, Bart. So we're gonna have to sacrifice that. But I think Steve loves that Dave's not on the graphic, and Dave does not appear to care, and Steve doesn't like that Dave doesn't care. So he tries to sort of, and Dave's just like, why do I care about whether I'm on it or not? So that's
my kind of guy.
Yeah. So all right, let's go to the first one relates to I believe the day's events today. And yes, here it is. The Comey testimony will be the straw that broke the Trump administration's back and leads to resignation / I love that. We cut away from the graphic, so I can't quite finish reading it, but we still catch a little bit of Edwin. Yes. Thank you, Edwin. So the question is this going to be it for Donald Trump? Is this going to be the we're going to be able to point to this in the future and look back on Comey's testimony and say that's when it was all unraveled for Donald Trump? Or will he weather this as he weathered so many previous storms? Grace, I put it to you, totally true or totally bullshit? It's a tough call. Yeah, that's why they're,
I have to say totally bullshit.
Totally bullshit.
Watched some of the hearing this morning. And I don't think it has to be the straw that broke the camel's back. Was that the
phrasing? Yes, that's the way it was phrased.
If that is the wording, no. Okay. I totally bullshit.
So is that because you think the slow trickle will continue on towards resignation?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't think this is a big enough break, at least from as of right now, what has come out. I don't think that there's been enough. Again, we're talking about, James Comey is very, I don't want to say coy, but he's very tactful and strategic in his wording. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't, I think a lot of people are going to be picking out certain things, but he was the FBI director. That's just kind of how they talk.
Right.
Very cautious wording. And that isn't necessarily, that isn't very accusatory and isn't, I don't think that there's going to be a way to absolutely say that it is a damning testimony. I just think it will be one of many factors that could lead to that, but it's not the straw that broke the camel's back.
He's not getting up there and doing a lot of this stuff,
No, no. It's a contributing from who he is as a person and his position and how that sort of has affected his candor and how he speaks. Someone else, it could have been, could have been some fireworks, but not with James Comey. At least.
So we're probably not going to get impeachment / resignation out of this, and also not going to get any good gifts.
Nope, I don't think so.
He doesn't give good gifts.
I've watched a lot of hearings actually this year. There've been a lot of good ones, and this is one of the duller ones that I thought
was
going to be.
Yeah, well, you did that top 10 list on Pop Trigger of hearings, of Senate hearings, this year, and that was, it was surprisingly lightly watched. So yeah, this one. Well, I think I didn't watch the whole thing. Yeah. I watched one thing that I think is clear is that John McCain needs his pudding before he go. I mean, he needs to be or something. I don't know what the deal is because he was incoherent and appeared to not really even understand the questions he was asking, which I guess, he's getting older, so that's possible. Yeah. But you know what? He's only got 6 more years in the Senate before he runs for re-election, so it'll be fine. I'm going to say totally bullshit also. And revelation is since back to 2015 has been, well, that's it for Donald Trump.
Right.
Whether it was him making fun of the guy with disabilities, whether it was the, grab the pussy comment, or a thousand other things, it was always, well, that's it. He can't continue. And lo and behold, he did. Mm-hmm. And so my standard, I'm with him, I'm with Trump on he can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. And so my standard response is totally bullshit. He's going to keep going and proceed. I don't, he,
bit the head off of that bat, at, you know, or whatever. You know,
that's an Ozzy Osbourne reference.
That's an Ozzy Osbourne reference. Yes, although Ozzy, he didn't do it on stage.
I don't think Ozzy would like that you're comparing him to Donald Trump.
Let's see, you know,
I think there's what pretty I'd like much to nothing see is, that Ozzy would hate more.
When I was watching that you know, that hearing, I was under the impression that John McCain was Ozzy Osbourne. Sharon. So I'm with you. Totally bullshit. I think that he's just going to ride this out, and something may happen. And there's enough to convict him of obstruction of justice. I feel, but until the Republicans decide they are done with him, they're just going to ride it out, and he's going to ride it out.
Yeah,
there's a different rules apply to him. All right, what do you guys think? Is this going to be it? Do you think Dave B is the answer. We're done playing that game, Dave. John McCain / Dave. All right, so let's move on to the next one, which is I'm sorry we don't have Dave here for this one, because this is if I had the soundboard ready, I would do that. Boop 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 boop.
Uh-oh.
All right, so here it is. TYT personalities should keep their criticisms of one another in-house rather than broadcasting them on social media. Totally true or totally bullshit? I made you answer the first one, and I haven't. I'm going to say totally true that I don't see a whole lot of advantage in going on Twitter to criticize or another TYT host. It's not criticize. You can't discuss these things openly, but and can't have disagreements about political issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those I'm totally fine with. But when it gets into the range of character and intimating that people have certain character flaws, or they are lying, or just in it for the money, or whatever it is, those sorts of things, I don't think public arenas, social media are appropriate for that. But I could be wrong, because maybe that's the kind of thing that builds buzz. I don't know, but I'm going to say totally true. What do you say?
Well, this is a tricky one for me, because I regularly troll my dear friend Hassan Piker.
Uh-huh.
But it's got to be sort of, this is a nuance. Can I pull a nuance card for this, or I have to come down?
What is the
because
motto?
I would say normally
okay,
totally.
Okay, just for this one time, we're going to allow nuance.
I would totally say true, totally true, with the exception that I was friends with Hassan before I worked here, before mm-hmm. I knew that, before he was working in front of a camera before fucking woke bay. So
before that bay got woke.
So to me, it's like I'm not trolling my colleague. I never want to think of him as we work together. Like, I respect him absolutely as a professional, but like, he is first and foremost my friend. And when I see him do something that's like disingenuous or just not like at his full potential, like I wanna, you know, I'll troll him for that sort of thing. And he knows that, and we will talk about it as well. But I think that's a little different than like if I was openly like critiquing, if I like retweeted his video and I was like, this asshole, like what he doesn't know, or something like that. So I don't know. I think I would say totally true, but I do wanna put like that sort of insert in there,
okay,
because I will mess with Hassan on social media for sure, but I think that's sort of part of our
I don't think it's
back
just
and forth. And it's, you only troll the ones you love, and it's only like I think that there are a lot of people, I love him very much, he's a very good friend of mine, and you want to hold those people accountable, even though it might look kind of salty. It's not, I mean,
well, if people don't know who you are and don't know who he is, and they just see your tweets, they might think, or whatever it is that you're going after him on social media,
mm-hmm.
They might think, ooh, that's, you know, that's kind of harsh or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they know that you're friends, then it's a different context. I think if there's an asterisk for Haas, you know, we all get to make fun of Haas on social media. It's just something he has to suffer with.
But only because this is what I would say. I think you can only make fun of him because I think sometimes he's the unfair butt of jokes, and I don't think that's cool. Only if you have to do it in like a loving way, where it's like, hey, you're better than this. Like, I think the woke bay thing is stupid. It's a brand thing, and I don't get it. Like, you can't just like announce that you're woke and then you're woke. Like, what is your activism? What are you doing to promote activism? You know what I mean? I don't know.
You know, are you even supposed to describe yourself as woke? Is that
it's
you
such know, a weird, it's like such a cool? weird, like,
I'm so cool,
like trendy
I'm so
term now. It used to actually be more meaningful, and now it's a branding thing that every, and not just him, it's like other people as well will be like, hashtag woke. I'm like, oh my God, if you're so woke, stop fucking saying it. And also, anyway, I could go on about that.
Right.
But I do think that as far as like critiquing other hosts' work, I think that there's absolutely a place for that, but I don't think that anything constructive would happen on social media.
I mean, because it does generate heat, and so and it becomes a topic, potentially a topic of news in and of itself, and brings attention to TYT. So you could argue that it's good for us in general because people are talking, somebody totally owned that other person or whatever, and among TYT hosts or whatever, but. And I think that's fine if you're just talking about the issues and you say, the other host, Cenk was wrong about this and this is why. And then you can have it out on Twitter and that's fine as long as it stays to the topics that you're covering and not about, well, no, why are you lying? You know, why are you misrepresenting what I thought? You know, that sort of thing.
Oh.
It has to be, keep it respectful.
Well, you don't want to get into a fight with someone on, because here's, no one wins. No one wins in a social media war. You all lose, and it builds up such a resentment, such a toxic poison, because someone will say something, it's so hard not to retort because you have that time to stew in how you're feeling. I think that it's way more constructive if you disagree with someone, and it's something I think we value a lot at TYT. I feel pretty comfortable. I've talked to people before about things that I didn't think really jived in person, and I haven't, as of yet, been met with any sort of animosity, like, fuck your feelings.
Your hippo fixation.
Yeah, people are very accepting about my hippo fixation. So I think that we are, as a company, we try and be very accepting and open to different ideas. I would hope that people would know that before going to social media. Is there something I'm missing? Did something happen?
Do you know about the Michael Tracy situation from last weekend when he interviewed?
I was like, this is way too pointed of a
interview.
Question.
Maxine Waters, and she sort of brushed him aside as she walked away, and then he made a big deal out of the fact that she had touched him.
I did kind of see something about
And then
this.
Everyone was making fun of him for that he was, he needed to go to the hospital.
I've never met Michael Tracy before, so I just saw that. I don't know how it came.
I think this is part of it, that it has to do with Young Turks growing so much, in that if it were, we're talking about 5 years ago when there were only 15 people who worked here. Even if you were arguing on Twitter, there was a foundation that, like, of course, we all love each other and care about TYT. But now TYT has like 85 employees, and there are people like you are a host, and Michael Tracy is a host, and you've never even met him. You don't even know.
Wait, this almost feels like kind of a prank. Like, there's a host named Michael Tracy, because that kind of feels like a name you guys made up. Because I've never seen this guy around. Does he work here?
He is. I think he's in LA, but he doesn't come in every day or whatever.
Is it
he's
awful off. That I missed this? Where
no,
have I been?
He was part of the investigative journalism.
He's a brand new hire.
So relatively new. Yeah, a couple of months now or something like that.
There's so many people I haven't met.
Yes.
I would like to, though. I hope that they're nice. So there's a conversation that maybe he was inappropriate in his reporting.
In this case, he made a big deal out of this little thing that he had with Maxine Waters, and then people were all making fun of him. And then everybody at TYT has to answer for that, because it's like, do you agree with Michael Tracy that he shouldn't have, that he called, he said that he got shoved by Maxine Waters when she barely brushed him aside, or all this stuff. And I feel like I shouldn't necessarily be answerable for what everybody else at TYT does. So I'm not going to get into it about this third party on Twitter, but that's a little bit separate from this question, but it's similar. It's all part of the fact that the Young Turks is a big deal now, and it used to be we could do something and it wouldn't be news.
And no one would care.
No one would care. And so now we're bigger, but there are more of us, and there are people who are not steeped in the company culture who are being hired and brought on, but they're now part of the TYT brand, and they represent us. But do they represent everybody else? Are all of their actions, are they representing TYT?
Yeah.
And are we all responsible for everything that everybody else does?
So if he had that microphone that says TYT around the head, then yeah. And that's, I think it is absolutely uncharted territory. I understand if like why, where that sentiment would be coming from if someone did lash out on social media. Again, I don't know. I don't know who, if we're talking about someone that maybe I know that did lash out or something.
Well, it happens. You know, well, there, I mean, there are fights that happen.
Right.
And sometimes they spill out onto social media, whether usually among hosts because they're the public. It's not, you know, Edwin is not getting into it with Tim Collins on the Twitter. Are you, Edwin? Are you? No, not
but
that
I'd
we
like,
know.
I'd like to start it.
I mean,
yeah. Yo, Tim Collins, Edwin hates you. He thinks you're trash, and then like tweet out both of you.
What is it? Don't want trouble. Don't start trouble. What is it? What's that expression? But you're an instigator.
I'm an instigator.
You're the one throwing shit at the animals at the zoo. You're trying. It's all. Oh, I love animals. And then you go and you're like fucking animals.
Go at it.
Yeah. Go. fight.
I think it's uncharted territory, and I think that we should be. We all have to be a little bit more careful. Whether you are Michael Tracy, like this guy I don't know, or someone here, of how you are, how you carry yourself, because it does represent on TYT as a whole. You just have to be mindful. Where if, as long as you're working here, you're part of this brand,
right? So that you're absolutely responsible.
You do something bad, that looks bad for. I mean, for other. It looks like if that's some the sort of thing that we stand by and that we encourage. Like, yeah, we're okay with misrepresenting the news, which we're absolutely not. So,
but how answerable are you as someone who works at TYT for?
Well, I don't think you should have to answer for it, but it does come. I think the onus does have to be on the guy.
Well, of course, Michael. Of course, you're personally responsible. But I guess my question is that you know, when we are all TYT hosts, me to a lesser extent because I'm not on camera really, but as I say on camera, not all 19 of you know what I mean. That there are disparate hosts doing all sorts of things, and they're getting into it on Twitter with all sorts of other people, and then if someone comes back to me and says, oh well, you know, Nomi said this, or Jimmy Dore said this, or Michael Schur said this to this person, or you know, are you going to defend that? I'm like, no, I'm not going to defend that. I don't. That has nothing to do with me.
You know, yeah, that's a really good way to answer it. Are you going to defend that? No.
But then, am I somehow implicated in sharing that opinion, whatever it is, because I work at TYT and that person has TYT in their, you know, in their Twitter, you know, description?
Well, then behind closed doors, I think it's important that we hold people that put other hosts in that position accountable, so that it doesn't happen again, so that it's not a thing that we are regularly dealing with. Because imagine if like whatever happened here, no one tweeted at me because no one takes me seriously. But if someone had, if they were like, this happened, like Grace, what is your answer? And I didn't know anything, and then I have like a dumb response to be like, Michael Tracy sounds like a made up name. Then it looks bad for all of us, and I'm put in like a weird position.
I never trust a man with a woman's first name for a last name.
Michael Vanessa. I hope he never watches this.
I doubt he does.
I'm sure he's a really nice man. I really don't know.
Like, he'd have to get all the way through all that Weekly World News to get to this stuff, and our hippo talk and all that zoo stuff. So I'm guessing not, Michael. Nothing personal. We're just using you as an example of this phenomenon. We got to wrap it up. I think we're gonna go. But I mean, I think that it is. You're right. It is a growing, and it's unique to a place like the Young Turks that has. We're not, there's no teleprompter, so we're not told what to say. We're not under anybody's thumb. Jenk doesn't know what the vast majority of what goes on here, to say nothing of him like telling us what to do and controlling it.
Yeah, he doesn't know me. I kind of sneak in. I just sort of wandered in off the street and stuck around.
Like, you're outside when he pulls in, he hands you his keys, like, here, can you park it? And
yeah.
You know, maybe take it, I gotta get it waxed.
He's been calling me Chris for a while. I said Grace, and he heard it wrong, so he's just been calling me Chris.
Yeah, run with it. So yeah, so it's not like Roger Ailes, who ran Fox News with an iron thumb and was, you know, and even if he wanted to, Cenk couldn't watch. You know, we have like so much programming; he could not watch it all, even, you know, if you were so inclined. But as that happens, we have all these people in public who are making statements, engaging with the news and with other newsmakers and all that sort of thing. And we have to take personal responsibility, but I think also we have to allow that there are going to be disagreements, and we don't have to all defend everybody else and justify everybody else and call for, you know, that guy should, you know, how dare he speak to that person that way? He should be fired. I mean, you know, we get more leeway than, or we, I'm granting us more leeway. I'm so generous that, but I also don't think other people should be responsible for what I say. I go on Aggressive Progressives, and that's the far left of the spectrum here at TYT. And I'm sure I say things that there are people who are, you know, more centrist who really would object to them. But tough luck. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to share our opinions, and if it's something that's so awful, so horrible that you feel the need to take it up with Cenk, go ahead.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I think we should give each other a fair amount of leeway, and mm-hmm. But also not impugn each other's character, because that's where it gets really dangerous for me. If you're in public saying somebody is a bad person for what they do, or their motives are suspect, that's where I think it gets really dangerous, and we should try to avoid that.
Oh yeah.
But it's hard not to, because if someone attacks you or comes after a position that you hold, then you're going to want to attack them back. And in social media, it's so easy.
Yeah, you can have a knee-jerk reaction to something that you might have had a more thoughtful response to had you heard it in person.
Right, and I think the impulse is to be like, I'll tweet back with how you do that. But what should happen is approach that person privately and say, listen, did you misunderstand me, or I respect you for what you, but I don't think you, and try to work it out. And then if it doesn't work out, then you go. Then be the first one to Twitter because you want to control the narrative. Mm-hmm. All right, so thanks so much for watching. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoyed today's not only today's post game, but also the great power panel that preceded us. It was powerful. It was panelful.
Oh.
It was great, wasn't
with
it?
What they said about that, really, like, it was such a divisive issue, and they came down on a stance that I had not thought of before.
Yeah, it was very insightful.
Very insightful.
Were you on the panel today?
It's on Friday. Actually, wait. Yeah, I have to say, Grace did an amazing job hosting the second hour.
Yeah, and thanks for just coming right back with us right afterwards, because that looked like it was really
quick change.
I mean, like the sweat, they just dabbed the sweat, and you came right out here, and you were ready for the Weekly World News and Totally True, Totally Bullshit, and you gave it your all to them, but you also gave us your all. You were like a fighting hippo.
I was like a fighting hippo.
So
breaking
thanks for
out
watching.
Of the zoo.
Appreciate. Hopefully, we're gonna have I loved having Grace here. Really appreciate it. But hopefully, we'll have Steve and Dave back. We can answer some of your comments, which I definitely want to do, because there's some questions and comments that are critical of Steve, and I definitely want to give those an airing.
Yeah.
But I want to do it while he's here, make him squirm a little bit. We appreciate the comments. Appreciate all that. Appreciate your watching. But as always, I like to say, stay strong.